So the wounding of unworthiness and of inadequacy is the belief that fundamentally we're not worthy. We're not worthy of our own greatness. We're not worthy of our own power.
Welcome to the Ecstatic Woman Podcast. Together, along with some amazing guests, we'll explore and tap into our inner wisdom and have meaningful conversations about developing our ability to self-discover, create, and be present in the world, while also uncovering new ways to think, feel, and cultivate our sense of empowerment so we can live our lives ecstatically. Now let's welcome our host.
Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of the Ecstatic Woman Podcast, where we activate and inspire women in their power, in their authenticity, and in their bliss. I'm your host, Alara Sage. I'm a womb shaman. I am an activator of Kundalini Shakti, which is your creative life force energy, and I'm a human. It's felt really called to say that for some reason. Today I want to talk about primary distortions, wounding of the three creator centers, and might turn this into three separate episodes. So if you see part one in the title, that means that I decided that it was enough content to break into three parts. We'll see how the conversation goes today. And I have personally experienced all three of these distortions slash wounds. So before I go into this, what do I mean by distortion? If we think of consciousness, the primary foundation of consciousness is Satchit Ananda, which means awareness, love, light. Consciousness is created from awareness, love being unconditional love, not the human emotion of love, and light, aka information. From those primary three aspects of consciousness, we begin to create distortions. They're almost like little refractions of the light, right? So in physics, as you know, you can refract light, which bends it and alters it. And the same thing with consciousness. We can refract or bend or distort consciousness to experience particular ways. You can also think of distortion as if you're looking through glass that isn't perfectly clear, or, you know, as you walk around, like if you've ever been in a house of mirrors or kind of one of those things at the fair, right, where you walk in and the mirrors show you distorted, right? That's what we're kind of referring to, but we're referring to consciousness itself. So as we come down the densities of consciousness, there are more and more distortions. That doesn't mean bad. That doesn't mean that we are not pure, because we are. We are pure divinity. We are pure light of God. It just means that there's not always clarity, right? And that's there for a purpose. Like the mirrors that show us the distortion are there for a purpose, to like see ourselves distorted. Or another really great way of seeing it is stained glass, right? It's purposefully colored and distorted for its beauty. So I just want to clarify that when I use the word distortion, I'm not saying negative. Even wound isn't negative. It is an experience of consciousness learning more about itself. And you are one of those vessels through which you, as consciousness, as divinity, experiences itself. So now that we've got all that out of the way, the distortions, the primary distortions of the three creator centers. So yeah, I already can feel how much content this is going to be. The three creator centers are the sacral, the heart, and the pineal. And I could probably have an entire podcast episode just about the umbrella information of what I call creator consciousness, consciously creating your reality as the creator that you are. But that's not what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about the three distortions, or the primary distortions of each of the three centers. So just understanding that creator consciousness is the ability to create your reality consciously, okay? And if you want, you can look back on my episode that I did, manifesting versus creating versus actualizing, to give a little bit more context of what I mean when I say creating, because it's similar to manifesting, but in my opinion, it has a lot more depth to it and embodiment, which manifesting doesn't necessarily have. Okay. So we're going to start with the sacral chakra today and talk about the primary wound of the sacral chakra. And as I mentioned, and perhaps why it wanted to come through that, hey, I'm also human, is because of all three of the chakras, the sacral has been the one that I have spent a great deal of energy, attention, focus, time to resolve in myself, to heal, to open more, and to intimately understand. So, you know, many years ago when I was starting all of this, my higher self, as I would go into meditation, my higher self take me to my sacral over and over and over again. And I kind of thought, well, why am I doing this? Like, everybody talks about the heart chakra, right? Everybody talks about the pineal, the third eye, activate the third eye. Why am I being taken to the sacral? And, you know, at that time, I wasn't aware of the gene keys, which is a beautiful system of understanding yourself better. You can go look it up. I didn't know about the gene keys, and I didn't know that really this was so much a part of my process as a human. And also as a teacher and mentor of creator consciousness. So as it always is, it was perfect. But I didn't always fit a lid. So I have a lot of personal experience with the sacral, and the primary distortion of the sacral chakra is inadequacy, which can also be felt and experienced as unworthiness. So this wounding is of the feminine. So again, not of women, but of our inner feminine energy that is in us. And so for women, the unworthiness, the inadequacy lives in the womb and is governed by the sacral chakra. For men, it lives in the hara, which is like the energetic center where the womb would be, which is also governed by the sacral chakra. So the sacral chakra is really about our creative life force energy, okay, which is our Shakti and is also our sexual energy. So you can understand why this would be governed by the sacral, right? So just a reminder that all sexual energy is creative life force energy. Not all creative life force energy is sexual. But regardless, it is the energy through which we ourselves were created. It is the energy through which everything is created. And it is the energy through which we create. So the imagery that I'm receiving right now through higher self is it's like the essence of the painter, right? So you have the canvas, which would be our reality, and you have the paints and the paintbrushes, which would be our action, okay? And the essence of the painter, the voice, the expression the painter brings forth through their canvas would be their creative life force energy. So it's very beautiful because our creative life force energy all comes through our unique lens of our genius, right? Which is why, you know, we have so many brilliant painters and artists of, you know, actual painters, sculptors. I'm trying to think if there was a better way to say it. And yet they're all deeply unique, right? Because that's the beauty of how our creative life force energy comes through us. So think of it as your creative essence, the energy through which you create your reality. And again, that's why there can be so many humans, and yet we can be so vastly different, which is gorgeous. So the wounding of unworthiness and of inadequacy is the belief that fundamentally we're not worthy. We're not worthy of our own greatness. We're not worthy of our own power. And we're not worthy of recognizing ourselves as divinity, as the creator or the creatrix, okay? As a direct fractal of the creator. Tricks. And that unworthiness, the belief of unworthiness, creates this inadequacy. And inadequacy, when that is not transmuted, when somebody has inadequacy and or unworthiness that they haven't resolved and realized within themselves, it literally reverberates through every single thing it creates. And like I said, I've had a lot of experience with this one. Not only is this part of creator consciousness and therefore something I have been led to teach, but it is also my life's work and my gene key. So this is something that I'm really here to understand about myself and about all humans on a very intimate level. Okay, how we believe that, for one, there is such a thing as inadequacy, unworthiness, lack, and therefore that we create our reality from it. So how this energy shows up is, for one, a feeling of unfulfilled no matter what you do. And this has been spoken about a lot, whereas people don't really find happiness, right? They have the house or they have the car, or they have all the things, but they're not truly happy. They're not fulfilled in life. And this particular vibration of unfulfillment lends to this chasing and what I like to call grasping, because that has been my experience. This grasping for the next thing outside of yourself that you believe will fulfill you. Okay. So how this showed up in my life was I was always looking for the next thing to create. In my business, I was looking for like the next mentor or business modality or thing, lesson, learning, whatever it was, tool that would fulfill me. Now, it's ironic because I also consider myself a lifelong learner.
which was a term I learned from my partner and I just fell in love with. I love to learn. And there's a difference between learning because you enjoy the process of learning and growing and expanding, and learning or shifting yourself or desiring to quote unquote heal yourself because you believe you're ultimately inadequate. And that is a vibrational sense. So to say that somebody is always striving to be their best self and therefore they must have a sense of unworthiness or inadequacy just simply is not true. Because you can actually have a great deal of worthiness and sense of self and still desire to continue to grow and expand yourself. Okay. So like I said, you can, there is a difference between trying to constantly heal yourself because you fundamentally believe that you're inadequate, unworthy, and broken versus heal that actually. And now you come from a place of truly desiring to create for yourself. The difference between those two vibrations is the lack of grasping. This is what I have learned. So again, that inadequacy, it'll create this sense of like, I've got to find that next thing. And this is it. And then like grasping onto it. And you know, devouring it, consuming it, whatever it is, and falling, right? Because the whole experience was created in the energy of inadequacy. Whereas once you have resolved quite a bit of the unworthiness within your space, there's a great deal of relaxation and spaciousness. And instead, you're just allowing things to come into your space that are aligned for you. Oh, wonderful. This is the learn and grow and pursue calmness. There's an availability and there's a spaciousness. I hope that makes sense. Other ways that unworthiness and inadequacy come through is that we often don't receive well. Okay. Because remember, this is a wounding of the inner feminine, and the inner feminine is the negative polarity. Therefore, she's the one that has in the penetration of the inner masculine. She receives, like literally, right? You can always take this relationship both non-direct and just from your inner feminine to your inner masculine. And then you can always take it very direct into the sexual experience because creation is sexual. And, you know, really realizing that the woman receives the man inside of her, right? So unworthiness is where we can't receive. We can't receive compliments. We can't really receive gifts. We can't receive our own creation. And this goes a little bit deeper into creative consciousness where, you know, if you're taking action with intention, you are penetrating the universe. You're using your masculine energy to penetrate the universe with your creative life force. And then you have to be able to receive that it's coming back to you. And this is probably where the majority of people's unworthiness really shows up. So they may be intentionalizing and putting all the efforts into creating or manifesting, and it never arrives. And that's because they're not actually receiving. They're not in a receptive state to receive it when it does arrive, which means it's deflected. And you may never see it. It may not come into your space because we're very powerful deflectors. And again, something I've experienced in my own life and my own self is just how powerful of a deflector I can be. Just as powerful as a magnetizer I can be, I can also deflect. And deflection is so subconscious, of course. You're not intentionally deflecting the things that you're attempting to create, right?
But you can do it, and you can do it so well that it never even comes into your space. It just feels like it never arrives. Okay. So if you feel like you've been trying to manifest, trying to create something, and it just hasn't shown up, you could be potentially reverberating in the energy of unworthiness / inadequacy, and therefore deflecting the arrival, the penetration of that to your space. Okay. And sometimes there's also just divine orchestration and divine timing. So it's always about being really present in your body to understand and to feel, sense, know, am I deflecting? Or is it just still in the creative process? Which, by the way, you can get those answers by simply asking your higher self in your heart. And if you ever want to hire a more clear connection to your higher self, I do have a wonderful program that will assist you with that. So, the unworthiness and the deflecting. This wound can also show up just simply in not enjoying your life. Okay. So just as I mentioned, the penetration of the masculine back to you, the penetration being the experience. Okay. We are always creating, experiencing. So the creative energy, is, you know, the feminine energy, and the experiencing, well, actually you could say it's the other way around. I won't even go to it. It's too complex. Let me just simplify it. The creating and the experience is where we are being penetrated by our reality. Creating is when we're penetrating our reality. Okay. So what do I mean by this? When you are experiencing a given moment, like right here, right now, there are several energies and sensations that are penetrating you. So right now, one of those is my voice. Okay, the sound of my voice, the energy that is created, that actually creates my voice and creates the words, is penetrating you. The words themselves are penetrating you. The sound, right? There's several different experiences just within that. And then if you so happen to be driving your car while you're listening to this, you're penetrated by all of the visuals that you are seeing. You are penetrated by any other sounds and sensations and feelings. So penetration is very much of the senses. It's of the body. It's how we experience our reality. Now, this is not spoken of a lot. And in fact, I was really just clearly taught it by my higher self in the context of penetration. Again, we're speaking to a feminine wound, right? So the feminine, ultimately, again, we're taking this, let's think of it sexually so that we can understand the creative process of our life, right? So in sex, a woman has to really relax her body to receive the masculine side of her. And, you know, wanted to say that there's a lot of relaxation that's required. And even for myself, levels of relaxation that I have learned to experience during sex has really shifted my overall experience of it. Even some of my clients, as I've spoken to them, have you ever, you know, felt sex uncomfortably or ever felt a pressure up against your cervix or like a tension in your pelvis? They say, oh, yes. Meanwhile, they might be orgasming just fine, right? But there's more to it than just orgasm. Because a woman has to really, really relax all of the muscles and soft tissue in her pelvis and relax her mind and her emotional body, which in turn relaxes the cervix. And when she really feels loved and appreciated and safe in the sexual energy, her heart opens, which is directly connected to her cervix. Her cervix opens. And now we're talking whole different level of womanhood and of power and ultimately of orgasm, because a woman who is really relaxed in her cervix can really reach multiple orgasm and multidimensional cervical orgasm, which is a whole nother level of orgasm beyond clitoris or even G-spot that just don't hold even like... They're like bronze and silver way down there per the gold of the cervical orgasms. They're just nothing close to the sensation and experience of the cervical multi-orgasmic woman. So if we consider all of that, right, the level of relaxation and openness and availability, okay, and... You know, there's a lot of vulnerability there. Now, most of the time when humans are just walking around in their life, they have a lot of perception and judgment about what they're experiencing. I don't like this. I don't want this. This isn't what I want. This. All of these perceptions. And again, I have done this 100%. And depending on those perceptions of how we are perceiving our experience, if it is negative, then we are closing off to it. Okay. That can be just very subtly, energetically closing off to it, or it can really be quite physical, where we're actually clenching our body, particularly around our anus and in our pelvis. We can clench our jaw, which is directly correlating to our sacral. And we can even clench our shoulders, right, and neck. So that clenching is the resistance to the experience, the resistance to the penetration. And when we resist, well, for one, it persists, right? What we resist persists. But also we don't experience it with any level of pleasure. When we resist and we hold tension, we create pain and discomfort. Meanwhile, if we really relax and open, we experience pleasure. And I play with this time and time again, like just even today, I was out jogging. And I was really working with some energies in my gut that were like literally making my stomach hurt very badly. I didn't want to be even running, but I stayed in the jog and breathed into my body and like literally just relaxed everywhere that was in pain and shifted it into pleasure. So this can happen with anything. And I stand to that point. Now people might say, well, that's all great until you're in this much pain or this emotional pain. And I mean, sure, you can put a limit on it. You can put a limit on your own pleasure. I choose not to do that. So I stand for myself to say that I allow myself to experience anything pleasurably and that I have that power. So back to, you know, our ability to experience life pleasurably is really dependent on whether we give ourselves permission or not. That's it. That's the extent of it. But if you don't feel like you're adequate or you feel like you're unworthy, you're going to be tensed in your pelvis, in your jaw, and maybe even in your shoulders. And you're going to be holding yourself up out of your body, okay? Because you don't feel adequate and worthy and to be able to really sit in your power. Because you know what? Power is a lot. It's intense. And you are such a powerful being. And when you really sit into your power, yeah, it's an intense sensation that can be ecstatically pleasurable if you allow it to be. So this feeling of dissatisfaction with life, this feeling of life letting you down, disappointment, depression, Okay, depression is of this wound, of this distortion. You know, just that like life isn't enjoyable, or, you know, you give yourself permission to enjoy life in certain aspects. I enjoy life when I'm with my family, when I'm on vacation, but these other areas of my life are not enjoyable and I don't enjoy them, right? So that is limiting the power of your feminine. That's limiting your creative life force energy. And this is one of those things that may sound really kind of out there, but when you practice it, you get it. And it changes your life, because literally you can experience anything pleasurably. And then what is there to truly stop you? Doesn't mean we can't have preference. Doesn't mean that we have to eat, you know, like beef liver and onions if that's not our preference, because we're telling ourselves, well, we could enjoy it pleasurably, right? We still get to have boundaries and integrity of self. We still get to create our reality. It's just as reality penetrates us, we have the power in how we experience that. So this opens the door to experience fulfillment, joy, bliss, ecstasy in every moment, rather than just in these moments, and therefore it's inadequate or not at all because you're unworthy. Maybe you can see how this wounding shows up for you and how it shows up in your life. The other way is the way that this wound of inadequacy and unworthiness can show up is perfectionism. And I mean, all of these I have experienced quite intimately and intensely, to be honest. And perfectionism, you know, it's an attempt to control, and it doesn't allow for the true voice of the feminine, which is messy. She's chaotic. She's nonlinear and therefore seemingly irregular. Perfect example. I always use Mother Gaia as the representation of the feminine, because that's what she's there to do, is reflect that to us. You know, our calendars say, this is the beginning of summer. This is the beginning of fall. This is the beginning of winter. And does Mother Gaia, you know, subscribe to our calendar of perfectionism? No, she does what she wants. So, you know, sometimes on the first day of winter of summer, particularly here in Colorado, it can be snowing, right? It's just like, wait, what? You're not abiding by the rules, Mother Gaia. This is supposed to be the first day of summer. And the same with the cycles of menstruation within women, you know, like whatever, your bleed is supposed to start this day, or you're supposed to be ovulating this day. And sometimes it lines up that way and sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it does what it wants to, right? Because of the way that creative life force energy moves and desires to find, you know, it's like water, right? Water looks for that easiest route of flow. That's what creative life force energy does. So perfectionism, while we might think from our ego mind, no, look, this is the perfect flow. Like, I'm holding space for what I'm deeming perfect. And like creative life force energy should be thrilled that I'm holding this perfect, you know, boundary of illusion up so that it can flow freely through that. But what our ego mind deems perfect does not necessarily equate to the bigger picture of what truly is perfect in the, you know, the eyes of God, the eyes of creation, the eyes of your higher self, your soul, which sees so much more and vaster than your ego mind. So, you know, I like to use the example of young children as like our ego mind. And I had a client the other day, she was saying how her son had broken his leg and he was 2.5, you know, and all he wanted to do was run around, you know, but he's got this cast on, he's got a hurt leg, she's trying to slow him down. And this is like what we do where we're like, no, I want to do this. And, you know, meanwhile, the adult, quote unquote, meaning our higher self or our soul is saying, that's not really what's good for you right now. And we're like, but that's what I want. Around. Why won't you let me run around? Because the ego mind is very immature, largely. I mean, humans in general, just to throw this in there, we are very immature. Humans used to live hundreds of years before we fell from consciousness. And so in our current lifespan, you know, we're just starting to get to some level of self-awareness and consciousness, and we die and reincarnate all over again. So we are infants in the big scheme of self-awareness. So it's literally like we become toddlers and then we pass away. We don't even ever make it to adolescence. But it's fun and it's truth for one. I'm making a joke, but it's actually true. And it's also really good to understand that because your ego mind, as you start to see it this way, it will sound like an immature child that just wants what it wants and doesn't care and can't see how that may not benefit it, right? Like, I just want ice cream for every meal of the day. What's your problem? Why can't you just give that to me? So understanding, you know, that perfectionism is only from the ego mind. That's the only place that perfectionism comes from. And it's when we feel this sense of inadequacy. So when we feel the inadequacy or the unworthiness, we think we have to control our reality, right? If I control it, if I control my reality, I won't feel this way, right? That's what the subconscious mind is saying. As long as I can control my reality, I will be validated for my worthiness, okay? If I can just control my reality, then I'll prove to myself, right, that I'm worthy, I'm valid. But control in any sense is pure illusion. It's pure illusion. And you're welcome to play that game because you have free will, but it won't get you very far because there are bigger hands at play that you have no control or power over. So when we feel this inadequacy and then this sense of control, that's where the perfectionism tries to come in. And the perfectionism is just simply saying that we don't truly trust and believe, right? Which is what the unworthiness is saying, which is what the inadequacy is saying. I don't truly trust that I am a powerful creator. I don't truly trust that I am connected to the inexhaustible wealth and resource, the bottomless well that is the feminine, the great mother, the river of creative life force energy. And therefore, I have to control it, right? Create it to an illusion of perfection, so that I have a sense of safety. Unfortunately, perfectionism will never grant you safety. It will never validate who you are, who you don't believe yourself to be. It'll never make you feel better. It will hold you in an energy of angst,
just like I mentioned with the grasping. Perfectionism has a very similar angst energy to it that is very easily derailed, because if something doesn't show up between that tiny, tiny little slit of what is deemed perfect, then what, right? Then shit. Now we're falling apart. Now what, right? There's this derailing that happens. So the angst, the tension to try to hold your creative life force energy through a very narrow pathway. And let me tell you something. All of this takes a great, great deal of energy. If you are a perfectionist, you expel such a tremendous amount of energy trying to hold such a narrow pathway for your creative life force energy. Same if you can't receive the penetration of life, you expel a great deal of energy holding yourself up and out of your body in a state of tension. All right. If you are constantly grasping for the next thing that will make you feel fulfilled, the next experience, the next whatever it is, that grasping takes so much energy. So if you are exhausted, tired a lot, overwhelmed, these are examples of where you're not in your power. You're not surrendered into, relaxed and open into your feminine energy. You are in a state of tension, whether that's perfectionism or unworthiness or inadequacy. They're all the same, by the way, right? They're just different ways that this same energy, this distortion, this wound of the feminine shows up. It's all the same. But it creates exhaustion. A perfect example of this is like literally women and mothers, right? Who feel like no matter what they do, it's never enough for their family. They're constantly doing all of this. They're not appreciated. They're not supported. They're exhausted. And yet they feel like there's still so much more to do for everybody else. Okay. This also goes into the energy of martyrdom, which is all, again, a wounding of the feminine. A disbelief in the inexhaustible resource that you are of creative life force energy. A disbelief in yourself as a fractal of the creator, of the creatrix. So really notice what I'm saying. If you're oftentimes exhausted, overwhelmed, tired, fatigued, because that's the tension. And it's interesting to me, I say this often because I get it a lot. A lot of times clients say, this is all so much work, right? Like the practice of self-awareness is work. And the truth is it only feels like work because it's something that it's a muscle that you haven't been utilizing. Meanwhile, you have muscles that are taut with tension and they are exerting so much force to maintain that tension, and they are in spasm because they are edemic. They are lacking oxygen. Symbolic muscles that are in so much tension that they lack oxygen and they are spasmatic and edemic. But they hold because the programming, the pattern of that tension is ingrained into the cellular memory of those muscles. And therefore, they remain there. And it doesn't feel like work, even though it can be very uncomfortable, it can be painful, or it can go so far as to just numb out completely, which is what happens when it starts to spasm. That doesn't mean that that is any less work. In fact, it is a great deal more work.
you maintaining any of these things that we've talked about today is a great deal more work. It takes so much more energy than learning how to embody your feminine, relax, surrender, and open up to your own internal flow. It's just you're not familiar with it. It's new. So it takes, you know, the awareness, the brain power, the constant repetition to reprogram the cells of your muscles and your mind to hold surrender. Because all of that tension is force, and force is not self-maintaining. Whereas power is organically self-nurturing and self-maintaining. So again, it takes a lot less energy to allow your creative life force energy to learn to flow. You're actually moving with the river instead of holding tension, resisting, deflecting, perfectionizing, that's a word, which all is force and tension, walking up the stream. So I hope this has brought you some clarity. So clearly this is part one because we just went through the sacral. So we'll have a part two, which will be the heart, and a part three that will be the pineal gland. And then I hope by then you will have a good understanding of what stops you from creating the life that you desire, no matter the obstacle, because you will see through these conversations, these distortions that you carry. And just want to be really clear, you have these distortions. You've either already worked with them or you haven't. But these are all normal human distortions. So this isn't about, I don't have these, and you know, or anything like that, or that you're bad if you have them, because this is part of being human and remembering our power as human beings is to reclaim this in these chakras. So I always invite you to be curious and ask yourself, where am I holding these energies? Am I holding these energies from a state of curiosity rather than deflecting and denying? Right? Because that is both tension and resistance. Well, we already talked greatly about that, didn't we? So you are very clear on what that does for you, which is just create more work and exhaustion for yourself. So be curious and see it as an opportunity to reclaim your power as a creatrix. Not that something is wrong with you, not that you shouldn't believe these things, not that you're bad if you're a perfectionist, okay? Like I said, I've been through them all. So I am not here to judge you. I am here to hold up a reminder for you and help you to see yourself so that you can get there quicker, faster, better, stronger, with more awareness, with more love in your heart and more light in your being. As always, I'm so appreciative of your time here today with me. I love you all so very much. And yes, make sure you listen to the other two. Much love to
Thank
you.
Thank you for being a part of the Ecstatic Woman podcast. As you experience each new day, we want you to feel that you are capable of tapping into your inner wisdom and living your life ecstatically. If you want to be invited back to the next episode, just subscribe to our podcast. And if you need more information in the meantime, go to alarasage.com.